Okay, we continue in the Rambam, Hilchas, Geneva, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Tesvav. Okay, Tesvav is very easy. If you recall, in Hilchas Niske Mamon, let's go back to what we learned last year. Hilchas Niske Mamon, if your cow damages somebody's cow or whatever, or breaks something, and the thing is damaged, so how does the person pay back? So if the item is still there but it's broken, you're able to give him the pieces of the item and then give money to top it up to what the value of what it was worth, if you recall. We will see that that is not the case by Geneva. It's going to be different, and that's what Halacha Tesvav is going to tell us. Mi shegonav kli, if someone steals a utensil, v'shibro, and he breaks it, o pichasa, or it decreases in value because of whatever. Let's say he dropped it and it, you know, part of it broke. Let's say you stole $100 radio and you dropped it. And by dropping it, instead of getting 100 stations, you only get 60 stations. Base, whatever. You broke the alarm, but everything else works. So if it was a $100 radio, it's only worth $85. Okay, whatever it is. Or you broke it, but the pieces still have a value. Okay, that's v'shibra b'chi, so he steals a kli, he breaks it, or it diminishes value. O nishbar, o nifchas me'alav. Or it just breaks on its own, or decreases in value on its own by it breaking by itself. A tree fell on it, and it broke part of it. Whatever it is, so you've got the pieces, you've got the item that was law, that was stolen, but it doesn't have the same value for some reason of which damage occurred to the item. It doesn't matter how the damage occurred. So now, as opposed to the laws of Niske Mamon, the halacha is Ein Shamin Lo Hapachas. We do not value what the item is worth now that it's in its damaged state, right? That amount of decrease we don't evaluate and say, okay, it's only worth 75 now. So here, take the broken or the less efficient radio that's worth 75 now, was worth 100, and we'll give you $25, and that'll take care of the principal amount. We don't do that. Rather, Eloroin kamahoya shava osachli. We look at what that utensil was worth before it was stolen. Umishalim leba'olmim shnayim bedamav. He has to pay to the owner twice the amount of that object. So this $100 radio that now that was damaged is worth $75. Instead of returning the radio, the ganef keeps the radio and he has to give him $200. So it didn't actually cost him $200 because he has a $75 damaged radio that he has. But so it really cost him $125 because technically he could give back. You know, he's not allowed to, but theoretically, in concept, if he would have given back the radio that was damaged, he only has to pay $25, and just no different than, let's say the radio was intact. The radio was intact. What would the halacha normally be? He'd give back the radio, and $100 more. So now the radio is damaged a few dollars, or broken to a great extent, but whatever, the radio still has some value, the parts or something has some value. So theoretically, he could give back the rate and just top up the amount to make it to what it normally would be worth. But the rabbis say we don't do that at all. But rather, he pays twice the amount of what the rate was worth. V'akli ha-shovur and the broken utensil, yiel l'ganav, it stays with the ganav. Now, this law of the rabbis was instituted for the benefit of the original owner. The rabbis felt that the owner would prefer to have the money to buy a brand new radio as opposed to now deal with a broken radio and having the difference of cost. Obviously, we are more strict here because the guy was a ganef and he did something. It was a premeditated action, which is certainly a terrible thing. And therefore, we're stricter on the ganef. We don't give him such easier way to compensate. All similar situations to that. However, since this takona was made for the benefit of the owner, the benefit is entitled to say, I don't want that you give me for the benefit. Let's say the radio had a lot of sentimental value for him, and he wants that radio. He feels, you know, I bought that when I was first married, and we played music on our wedding day from that, whatever. So there's a great sentimental value for it, so he's willing to take the radio back. So if that's the case, we're not going to force him to do something that is not in his benefit. So therefore, v'imratzu ha'balim litol ha'kli ha'shavur, if the owner is willing to take the broken utensil, v'yishalim lohem ha'pchas, and the ganef will pay for him the shortfall between the original price and what it's worth now, we do that. V'ha'kefel, and then the double, the extra $100, shomim, and if he wants that, then shomim, then we listen to the owner. He says, I'd rather have the broken piece and the amount that makes it up plus the kefil. That's straightforward, simple halacha. And of course, we have to have three questions. Okay, try to keep them practical, not what ifs, because, you know, I'm not going to answer any what if questions, just whatever is on the topic here.
How does this compare to the previous halacha, where we said, if the person destroyed or lost the utensil, he has to pay double at the time it's brought to court?
No, because here we're discussing how do you pay him back. Here there's something to give back. The other case, there's nothing to give back. Or even if there is, it's assuming you know this halacha over here. In other words, you break the thing, right? Shibarakli, you pay kefil. The Rambam is just emphasizing the halacha on its own now.
But I guess my question is, what double of what value?
It was stolen. Certainly as it was stolen. We already learned that if you stole an animal, a halach yid gimel, and you overwork it and it weakens, right, you have to pay him the value it was when he stole it. So he steals a radio. It's worth $100. You have to return to him a $100 radio plus kefil, correct? So now the guy damaged it. Something happened to break it. There's something that happened to it. Because you stole it, it is now broken. And we learned in Halacha Yud Gimel, we pay according to the time of the Geneva. So when it was stolen, it was worth $100, right? So now you've damaged it, so your obligation is to return twice the value of the radio. I'm not clear what your
Maybe
question
that's
is.
Why in 14, we say, if the person sold or lost or destroyed the utensil, he must pay double at the time the case is brought to court.
That's when the thing has fluctuated in price. We're not talking about a fluctuation in price. We're talking about the thing was damaged. Halacha Yadal is dealing with a price fluctuation where the market price has changed. We're not dealing with a market price change over here. We're dealing with the ganef stole the thing, and now because he stole it, either he broke it or something broke from it. And that is exactly the halacha in Yud Gimel, where it says you steal a fat one and now you made it skinny. And we say, what's the difference if you totally destroy it or partially destroy it? You have to pay at the time when it was intact. Right. That's what's following. Yeah?
So there's three costs that it could be. It could either be the victim's cost, the market value, or the replacement cost. You have a 1921 Edsel, and the guy breaks it, and to replace it...
We're not going to look at replacement. We're just saying, what is it worth?
So it doesn't matter what my original cost
was. What is it worth
so
now? Right now, a 1926 radio... What is it worth now? That's all. And we go, what would the market price be in 2007 for a 1926 radio? That's all that we care about. Not replacement, because you may not even be able to replace it.
Right.
What is its market value now? And we may not be able to replace it. It's not your obligation to replace it. What is it worth? If we can't replace it, then you go on eBay and say, a 1927 radio, what would people pay? Probably not a lot for it, unless it was an antique or whatever. I'm not going to waste my time getting into the details of this. Let's just go with the principles, and when you lose a 1926 radio, we'll take it to Bezin and discuss it. Whatever the value of it, is it right now? That's how we go. Yeah?
Why does he say Shnayim as opposed to
Kefal? Where? I don't know. It's the same thing. You're paying twice the price. I don't know why. Sometimes he says Shnaim, sometimes he says Kefo. I don't know. Sorry. Okay, you know, that's probably going to be other halachas dealing with this. But again, it's what is it worth? Right? What is it worth when it was stolen? This tape recorder, right? What is it worth now? What is a 2-year-old tape recorder worth now? That's what you have to...
If It's worth less.
Okay, so that so then it's worth less. It's worth whatever it can fetch. If the guy would have to sell it now, if you have the object, then you return the object. All right, so it doesn't listen. If he just walks out of the store, it's under the warranty. So you would have to give the whole thing. I don't want to get into these details. This is not the halacha over here. Okay, Tez Zion. Okay, now we have an interesting case. The following. Haganav Shigonav, a thief steals, Vitovach Omochar, and he either shechs or sells the animal, Lifnei Yush Habalim, before the owner gives up hope. Alright? He hasn't given up hope, and what has he done? He's either slaughtered or sold it. Now the main chiddush, don't lose folks, the main point of this halacha is the selling part. He's just throwing in the shechting part. But that's not going to be the main chiddush because these laws of slaughtering we know already. You'll see the point he's trying to make with the selling point. That's the main thing we should be looking about. So he steals an animal, he slaughters it or he sells it before the owner. The owner does not give up hope on this. So now, when he sold it specifically, did the ganef acquire the item? What do we have? Let's review some rules. When the owner is not miayish, the owner has not given up hope, and the ganef takes something and he sells it, did he really sell something that belongs to him?
No.
Didn't sell anything that belongs to him. Still, we know that's halacha. If you slaughter or sell something that you sell, you pay 4 or 5, correct? So, af al pi shelo kana lokeach. Now, the guy who buys from the ganef, the lokeach, he has not really acquired the item. Why has he not acquired the item? Because the seller had no right to sell it. There was no transference of ownership. Because when a guy steals something, that doesn't mean he owns it. Something has to happen to make that change. Let's say a shinui, a change of the item inherently, then the ganef, let's say, would own it. But there was no change. There was just a transferring of ownership. This is called, the term that is used is called shinui rishus. A change of rishus in whose domain it is in. So when the ganef steals it and he sells it, so it goes from the ganef's domain, although he doesn't own it, but he's holding on to it, and now he has sold it to someone else. That's called shinui rishus. We're changing the domain. The rule is shinui rishus alone is not kona. No one acquires it just by transferring the object. Why? Because there's no inherent change in the object. So therefore, nothing has happened. So we're saying, even though the lokeach, the buyer, doesn't own it, right? And now what happens if we catch, now the guy who bought it, right? We now catch the ganef, and he says he sold it to somebody. The cow is there. It's alive. What's going to be the halacha with the cow? Forget about anything else right now. What's the halacha with the cow? You have to give back the cow. The cow has never left the ownership of the original owner. The guy stole it. Let's say the guy stole it. If we would have caught him right then, we'd make him give it back if the animal's right here. The fact that he sells it to somebody doesn't change the fact at all. It is still, the product is there, and you should be able to give it back to him. So, af al pi shelo kana lokeach, even though the buyer has not acquired it, how do we know this? Because the stolen item will go back from the buyer and will go to the original owner. So now you might think, so now the ganef shouldn't really pay 4 or 5 because the sale was invalid. So like what kind of sale went on when there was no validity to the sale? The sale never happened. So you might think since there was no actual sale, you shouldn't pay 4 or 5. So therefore he's saying, I raise them mishalim, tashlumi arba v'chamisha. You pay 4 or 5. Now again, there's no chiddush by slaughtering, you see. When the ganef slaughters it, of course you're paying 4 and 5 because he has destroyed the thing. And the Torah is saying, you destroyed the thing, you have to pay him 4 or 5. All the Rambam is saying, he's not really saying a new halacha. This is a halacha that we're aware of. What was in your mind originally, the halacha? When a ganef sells something, so what's going on when you're selling it? And we know the halacha is you pay 4 or 5. So Rambam is just saying, even though the sale is not a valid sale, And you could think to say, well, since there was never really any sale, the item went back to the original owner. Why should the guy pay four or five? The Torah, the chiddush of the Torah is, by you even doing the act of selling, even though it doesn't consummate a sale, it doesn't become a sale, but it was the act of selling the animal, that is, or trying to sell the animal, that makes you chayav to pay four or five. That's all the Rambam is saying so far. So there's no amazing chiddush right now, yeah?
Since the item didn't change, why does he throw in that the owner didn't despair?
Ah, wait till the next halacha will change that. That's why. If he does despair, there will be a difference. So let's read on. Yes?
Just, if he just tried to sell the animal, would it succeed? Would it be ineffective?
There was no sale. If he just has it on the, he has it qualified for sale, nobody picks him up, he didn't sell it. He has to really sell it. Money has to be exchanged. Something has to happen. Now he pays four or five. And now the Rambam says, now Simon's getting to your point. Ve'ein tzorech lomar, and it goes without saying, of course, im tavach o mochar le'achar yush, if the guy slaughters it or sells, again, there's no chiddush in the slaughtering, because in the slaughtering there is no difference. But if the guy sells it after yush, now let's stop for a minute. There is an interesting halacha. Although shinui rishus, changing ownership or where the possession, doesn't constitute a kinyan, an acquisition, the halacha is shinui rishus with yish of the owner does constitute a kinyan. Why does that constitute a kinyan? So the Orach HaShulchan explains the following. Let's go back to yish of despairing of want of getting the object back. Let's go to the classic case of yish. Person loses an item. Loses an item. Somebody finds it. The owner was miyayish before he found it. Is the person allowed to keep it? Yes, 100%. If we know the owner is miyayish, why? Because the owner has given up hope. It is now ownerless. And now you, as we say, behetera baliyotcha, it came with all permissibility. I didn't do anything. I'm in the street. There's an item that I know. It's an unmarked $5 bill in the middle of Bathurst just blowing around. We know that the owner would give up hope. If the owner knew that the bill was flying around, he knows he's not going to pay it back. So there's an item there. I'm permitted to take the item. That's why I'm allowed to keep it. So Yish says the owner's given up hope. Now you can take it. So by finding an object, it's okay. When a person steals an item and the owner is miyayish, we say that doesn't help. Because why? Be'isura boliyoto. It came into your hand through a prohibited act. If you wouldn't have picked the guy's pocket, he wouldn't have given up hope on that. Okay. Now we go to this case. The guy steals it. Fine. The owner is miyayish. So the ganav himself can't acquire it just with the yush of the owner. Because it came to the ganav's hand in the wrong way. Now the ganav, now I'm not going to get into more details. In chapter 5, you know, it gets into more details. Did the buyer know the guy was a ganav? Not. Let's just take it simple now, because it's a whole thing, it's in chapter 5. But let's say a guy comes over to you, he looks like an honest guy, you don't know he stole anything, and he says, would you like to buy a cow? Guy says, why not? I'm going to buy a cow. And he gives money, gets a cow. Now that act alone, did the buyer do anything wrong? The purchaser didn't do anything wrong. So as far as he's concerned, behetera boliyoto. It came in his hand in an honest, decent way. So therefore, when we combine the yush, so in other words, the principle is when there's yush on the owner's part, plus the one who has it, he did an honest thing, and it's permitted for him to come into his hand, at that point, we say he acquires it. So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is that all the more so, when the ganef sells it, and there is a yish of the owner at that time, all the more so, because now what's happening, now there was yish, he sold it, now we catch the ganav tells it, I sold to so-and-so, and the animal is by the buyer. Now what happens to the animal? The animal stays with the buyer. And what that means is the sale was a complete sale. It was a real sale. A real transfer of ownership happened to the extent that the owner can't get it. So now all the more so, Vein Tzarech Lomar, let's look inside now. And certainly we don't have to tell you, Im Tavach O Machar La'achar Yeush, if the guy slaughtered it, again, there's no chiddush in the slaughtering case, O Machar sold it La'achar Yeush, after the guy gave up hope, Shumishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. He has to pay 4 and 5 certainly. Why? Sharei hoil b'masa. His actions were successful. It accomplished something insofar as that the sale took place. V'kon halokeach. And the lokeach has purchased it, he owns it, and it was a complete sale. So there for sure the guy has to pay the 4 or 5. Now what happens? The animal stays there. The guy bought an animal, he keeps the animal. Now, I don't want to get into the details. The Rambam Perek Ches, hey, we'll get into all kinds of issues if maybe he has to, the original owner has to give him the money back. I don't want to get into those details. That's Perek Ches. But just in terms of the ganef right now, that's all I want to deal with now. That you can't, the guy who bought it owns it. He owns it. If the original owner wants to get it back from the first guy, he may have to pay him for it if he wants to get it back. But regardless, the ganef has to give him 4 times the value of the animal that was stolen. So it comes out that he's got what's coming to him. So the Meforshim explained. So by tvicha, even there's certain chidushim, even by tvicha, he says, by shechting, the chiddush is that the guy is chayev even after yish. Let's say the guy was miyayish. There are some chiddushim by tvicha too. When the guy shechts after the owner was miyayish. So you might have thought if the guy gave up hope, then it belongs to the ganef. And you might think the ganef was shechting his own. Remember, and if he's shechting his own, you don't pay 4 and 5. But the fact is yish is not kona. And even the fact that he's killing the animal, that's not going to be considered a shinui kona, that it never was the owner's. So therefore we say, it doesn't matter if the goat is miyayish, it's still considered the original owner, and it's like you slaughtered his thing and you pay 4 and 5. And by the selling, the chiddush is, that the chiyuv is even before the guy was miyayish, even before the guy gives up hope, and the sale really wasn't a sale, right? So we still say the Shinui Rishus doesn't do anything, and you have to pay 4 for 5 for the sale that happened over there. Okay, good? Clear? Simple halachas. Right?
Just very quickly, from the original owner's perspective, yeah. He gets 4 to 5 either way, but in the first case he gets an animal back, and in the second case...
Yeah, but he gets the animal back, but then you don't give him another form. You only give him 3.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know.
You give him 3. He can't get more. He has to get 4 times the value of the animal. It could be the animal plus 3, or it could be +3. Now, there's going to also have to be issues that I'm not getting into. How do we deal with the buyer? The buyer, let's say with the ganef, he did pay money. He can't be out of the money. So the Rambam and Halacha Hey will discuss how we deal with it. It could be some situation where the original owner has to give money to this buyer, and then the ganef gives him 4 times straight out. So there's issues that have to be dealt with, but that's in halacha hey. But primarily, the buyer doesn't lose. The buyer does not lose, especially when he doesn't know what's going on. The details will be, how does he extract his $100? Those are details. But clearly, everyone gets what was coming to them at the end.